So we started mapping and navigating the world thousands of years ago. Now we have digital maps that you can navigate with a click of a finger or gesture. Is mapping and navigating in a virtual three-dimensional map just the logical next step? Would you even call this a map, or is it completely different?
So I think it's clear that there will be more and more, there will be three-dimensional representations of the world. So people will map out the world, and a number of companies are already actively doing this. Now, I think there is a difference between a photorealistic three-dimensional representation of the world and a map. I think maps are actually semantic simplifications of the world. So they don't represent in detail everything. They actually choose what's important. So a map is typically selected for a particular purpose, for example, for navigating or for a number of activities. And they're typically made to emphasize the important information to resolve that task, and not so much all of the additional detail that are not directly relevant to that. And so that makes it much easier for a person to interpret a map. That's why, although there's already been for a long time aerial photography, this could be done with balloons and photo cameras 100 years ago, that people still use maps that are actually simplified versions of the world. And so I think in 3D we'll have similar things. So in some cases it will be useful to have a three-dimensional representation, but for buildings, for example, or things like that, they might be, but it's still not completely obvious. So I think there will be both things. There will be simplified three-dimensional representations, but I think a lot of navigation tasks can be done in 2D. But then there will be virtual copies of the world, as we are now using aerial photography sometimes, as this can also be useful to find some recognition points or this or that. There will be more and more also, as a complement to maps and to, in the part also 3D maps, there will also be very detailed photorealistic representations of the world that allow people to very quickly visually localize themselves and also help with navigation. I think both will actually coexist and be complementary to each other.
How does a 3D scanner work? For example, the one that you helped to develop for Google's Project Tango, how do you convert images into a virtual 3D object?
Well, there's actually two main principles for this to measure from images. One is called time of flight, which consists of sending a pulse of light out into the world and essentially measuring when the light comes back in every specific direction. So every point in an image corresponds to a direction in the world. And so you would essentially measure how long the light has traveled back and forth to the surface and back to the camera. That's one principle. This is used more and more. But another principle is so-called triangulation principle. There you have, or you have two cameras, or you have or two camera viewpoints, or you have one camera and a projector. This is what was, for example, used in the Microsoft, the first generation of Microsoft Kinect sensor. And so in Project Tango is something very similar, where you essentially project light from one direction, but you project light with a pattern, and then you observe the deformed pattern from a slightly different viewpoint. And the deformation actually directly relates to the geometry of the scene that you are exposing with this pattern. And so that's when you project light, and that's what, for example, a technique like or Project Tango, for example, would be doing at this point. But both techniques are possible. But then the work that we did ourselves in our lab, we've been exploring techniques where we just use passive images. So we just take images without actually projecting energy into the scene, and then we just compare the different images from slightly different viewpoints and correlate between them. And there also, we can essentially, by identifying a point in one image and identifying the corresponding point from the same 3D point in another image, we can actually intersect the two lines of sights in space, and that would be the point, the actual 3D location of the point. So those are the two principles. One is measuring the distance, and the other one is actually by intersecting two lines in space, recovering the 3D position also.
Why does this kind of technology come up just now? What is necessary to make such a system work?
Well, so this kind of concepts to measure three-dimensional geometry from images is very old. It's almost as old as photography. So There's actually a science even called photogrammetry that's actually doing this for already a very long time. What has changed is really the miniaturization of sensors, cameras, actually also other sensors like accelerometers and others, combined and also with computing power becoming available on devices. And so there's essentially been many different things coming together that have suddenly made this very, you know, possible at very low cost to do this type of measurement. So there have been laser scanners and other sensors around that scan in 3D for a long time already, but they have typically been very expensive and very cumbersome to use. And nowadays, this has all been miniaturized and essentially mass consumer products have come out of this. And that's really why now a lot of things are happening in all directions, because it technologically has just all come together at this point.
What are use cases for such a 3D model? What are possible applications, services, etc.?
There's actually many possible applications. So one thing is to go out and capture objects, three-dimensional objects. This could be, for example, for archaeologists as a particular example. They excavate objects, they find new objects, and they need to digitize those and keep a record of those. And so the more details, the better. But it could also be just at home, for example. You have a broken object, and then maybe you can digitize it. You can virtually, in the virtual world, reassemble it or correct it. And then you can maybe, with current 3D printing technology, you can then maybe recreate a fixed version of the object. So a repaired, essentially, this way you could repair some objects. Then there's also capturing scenes. So as we talked a little bit earlier about maps, for example, but also this could be capturing some scenes, an accident scene, or if you want to survey a scene, or if there's maybe a crime scene, or for forensics to be able to capture a location, that's definitely also a number of possible application. And this actually also could be capturing a scene more as a user or as a consumer, maybe at home, to capture quickly a scene and then use this to play a game inside that that scene. So that's actually really one of the things that Project Tango, for example, is aiming for, is to do a quick capture of a scene actually as part of a game that you can actually interact between real and virtual objects. Then another application is capturing people. So in that case, you could make 3D portraits, but also you could also do, for example, biometric applications where you measure dimensions of people so that if they order clothes online, they actually get the right size of clothes. Or you could even imagine customizing the clothes or the shoes or glasses or whatever to the specific size and shape of a person. And of course, related to that, there's also biomedical applications where you could actually use this preoperatively for planning, or also for following up some wounds or something like that, to remotely be able to, for a doctor to really look in detail at and measure, for example. So there's many applications, many different areas, I think, of this type of technology.
So you just mentioned gaming. Do you think that in the long run, those virtual 3D representations of our world will be a tool to move more easily in our world, or maybe become a replacement for our world?
So I definitely don't think they will replace our world, but they will form a complement. There will be a way to attach, to link the real world with the virtual world. So it becomes very interesting if the real world, if you can add information in the real world, so that you can link information exists in the digital world, link it in the real world. So that's in the example of gaming. This is clear. You can essentially augment your living room with all types of you can play a game where you run around and collect items and do things like that. And those would all be, all these items and these additional things would live in a virtual world, but they would actually be somehow integrated in the real world or connected to the real world. And of course, there's also many very useful business applications to this in terms of augmented reality and providing instructions, not in a booklet separate from the real objects, but actually on top of the real objects. And to be able to do that, it's very important to be able to model the world, because otherwise you cannot attach something to a door or to a particular button or this or that if you don't know where that button or that door is in the world. So that's where this virtual representation is. The main application will be a way to link the real and the virtual world, or the digital world, actually.
One scenario could be that these data will be used to help robots or other autonomous machines to navigate in a 3D environment. And if you look at Google's recent acquisitions of robot companies, it makes a lot of sense. Is this a realistic endeavor?
Yes, absolutely. So actually, also in our case, we have worked on the one hand to make an interactive 3D scanner on a mobile phone, but actually we use very similar technology to enable small micro-aerial vehicles, so small helicopters, to fly by themselves and map out the environment and be able to avoid bumping into obstacles. And this could, for example, be very important to allow these little vehicles to fly around and explore an environment. Maybe after a natural disaster, they can really help with providing situational awareness to helping teams that come in. So that would be one application. Another one is we also work with, for example, Volkswagen and Bosch on a project where we're essentially working on, or we already have results where cars can now, you could drop them off at the entrance, you drive to the train station, you get out of the car, and then you tell the car to go park itself, and maybe if it's an electric vehicle, to recharge itself along the way. And essentially, for being able to enable that, it's very important that the car can sense the environment around it and navigate. And if we can do that with relatively simple consumer technology instead of very expensive laser scanners and have to rely on GPS satellites, if we can do that just by cameras and observing the world, we can also operate in indoor parking garages and other scenarios. So yes, exactly the same type of technologies have many applications in that space also.
There seem to be many benefits, but are there also risks to such a technology? What about, for instance, privacy issues?
I think there are some issues, but I don't think they are very different than the ones that are encountered with 2D imaging. So I think in that space, 2D imaging and 3D imaging have very similar risks. And so, of course, there are risks with imaging. But actually, 3D imaging doesn't make it really worse. The only scenario where I see some issues is for being able to now copy objects in 3D. But there also, the risk is not enormous because, let's say, for example, I would go to a store and I see a nice pair of shoes, I take a few pictures and I make a 3D copy of it. It's not only the shape that is important, it's actually also all the materials, how they are connected and so on. So if I just reprint a 3D shoe, it will probably not be a very comfortable shoe to wear.
Putting this technology in a smartphone means that we do not only collect GPS data, but also visual and depth data of our position. And apart from privacy concerns, this also seems like a lot of work. Who will collect all these data and why should normal users do that?
Right. So I think indeed that there are privacy issues here in mapping. I think in practice, people will, some efforts will be just privately. You want to remodel your house. You will quickly scan the parts that you are interested in remodeling. And of course, that data will be private. But then you might essentially go to an interesting public space. And there you might collect data that you might connect with other people. And then there would be repositories where this information can be stored, things like OpenStreetMap, but then in 3D, might be created. So I think there will clearly be a mix of things. There will be a number of efforts that will try to for public spaces to essentially aggregate efforts of many people to create a much more interesting and up to date representation of the world. Also, similarly with actually 3D objects or preservation of sites like, for example, Pompeii or other sites, archaeological sites that are under threat. Also, maybe cities like Venice that are at risk from environment. There might be a big effort, a crowd effort to essentially digitize those places and really try to preserve at least an image of them. If we can't preserve fully preserve the real physical space, which, for example, if we look at places I think in Afghanistan, for example, some statues were destroyed. So if they are, in some cases, these statues get destroyed, it can be very important to have also virtual copies, precise virtual copies that have been archived, so that we can then do the reconstruction properly.
Back to the private use of this technology, it seems like that those data will be collected and used within a cloud-based service, akin to Google Street View or something else. Would it be possible or feasible to do this independently or offline? Or to rephrase the question, will the transformation of 2D to 3D data be done in user hardware or online?
So I think you can definitely capture this offline. And currently, a lot of the early calculations are actually done on the mobile device itself. So this data could be calculated offline, and you could do offline parts of this project. But of course, for some benefits, when you want to combine your information with other people's information and fit your part in with other people's, then of course it's important to in the end do further processing online. But I think this is open technologically. It's both are definitely possible. This will depend on the applications.